different groups. Stay that whole time, and then stay sharing the light of Christmas. That's where we like.
Is that good?
Right.
It'll be kind of far from the piano, but...
That's
fine. The piano will be able to be heard.
Yeah.
Regardless. Well, I can hear the piano.
Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you play a short little thing?
Yes. Yes. I guess I'll be... come down from there.
Can you put through the birds up?
Would that be in your way at all? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweetie, sweet.
Where's your mom?
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Thank you. Greetings and Merry Christmas. I look forward to hearing you say that. And I want to just welcome you to this service of worship tonight and share that we are so happy you're here. If today is a day for you to for you to change your faith or to grow in your faith or to deepen it, then this is the place. This is the time to do it, to grow closer to Christ, who is the Lord and ruler of life, but the one who today we celebrate as the newborn King, the Christ child in the manger. I hope you have candles, because we are going to have a candle lighting service near the end of tonight's service. And if you don't, lift your hand, the ushers will bring you one, and make sure that you do. Please be careful with the children, and it's great for them to have a candle too, but let's be careful with them and watch them, and as soon as the service is accomplished, we'll all put them out so that we don't walk around with them. That's not working great, Mike. Let me move it down a little bit. How's that? So it's also a joy to mention that the Ogden family is going to be our holy family for a focal point moment during communion tonight. And that is Jim and Katie, Jimmy and Katie, and little Lauren is going to be our angel, and baby Will is our baby Jesus. So it's an honor to get to have them here, and I want to celebrate that we get to share with the Ogden family, and that we get to meditate upon the moments of communion with the focal point of the Holy Family and the Christ child. Last, and this is probably the most important one, if you're our guest tonight, we are so tickled that you're here, and we want to save a place for you on Sundays. And so if you don't have a place to worship or don't have a church home, you are welcome here, and we welcome you on Sunday mornings. We worship at 8:45 in the chapel at the far west end of the building, and in here in this sanctuary at 10:50. And so either service would be open for you, and you would be more than welcomed. So, with all that said, let us begin our reading, and I call on Rick as we begin to the reading from Isaiah. Did you plan on that? Okay, I'll take care of it. All right, you're doing it. Great. Thank you.
A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. The wolf shall live with a lamb, the leopard shall lie down with a kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. This is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Let us sing together.
Mourns in lonely exile here.
Oh God, we give you thanks for this holy day, for this holy time, and we ask your blessing for this gathering of saints of the church and of the community. And I pray, Lord, that each family will have a special, holy, and an unusually beautiful Christmas this season, that all of us will give our gifts knowing that you, O God, are the great giver. Let us celebrate the gift of the coming King, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And let us sing together.
I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us.
And order all things far and nigh, to us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
And lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swift are leaning, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings bringing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping, vigil till the morning. Story, tidings of a gospel true, thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, greet the morrow, Christ the babe was born for you.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Jerusalem, born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For he observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to be the shepherd of my people Israel.'"
As you take your seats, let the children come down front for our children's sermon. Good evening. And guess what? It's finally here. We've been waiting for it for so long. Let's say it together. Merry Christmas, right? Oh, I'm so happy you're here today. Everybody find a place to sit, and I think Christmas is about children. And that's easy to say, because really all of us are children. We're children of God, right? We're children of God, no matter what our ages are, but you have a special place, and you have a special place in our worship. on Christmas Eve and every time, because you deserve to be close to Jesus. I'm happy you're here, and I wanted to talk with you about gift giving tonight. Why do we give gifts? Why do you think that we give people gifts? Why do you think people give you gifts? Let's put it that way first. Okay, he gives you gifts and it's Christmas, and that's true. Why do your parents give you gifts? Because it's Christmas. But they give you gifts at other times, don't they? In fact, they give you gifts of their time, and they cook meals for you. Those gifts are given because they love you. Exactly. That's it. So when we think about getting gifts, that's a sign that people love us. Whether we're talking about Jesus giving himself for us, or whether we're talking about our parents giving us gifts around the Christmas tree, or even sometimes, and I don't want you to get Santa Claus mixed up with Jesus, but sometimes when we talk about Santa Claus bringing gifts, it's because you are loved. It's because people around you love you and care about you. And Santa Claus represents all of that. So, the thing is, when we get gifts, we have some joy, right? We have some excitement and enthusiasm and surprise. But what does it feel like when you give a gift? Don't you sometimes love to pick out just the perfect gift for somebody? You're nodding and smiling. Or to make a gift, to make just the perfect gift and to give it to someone you love, a grandparent or your brother or sister or your parents or just or a friend or your aunt. Yeah. So giving a gift is fun too, and that's just as important. And it's at Christmas time we get to celebrate both of those things. We get to receive gifts and we get to give gifts. And so perhaps the most important thing we might figure is which gift we would bring to Jesus, the child of the manger, because Jesus is the ultimate gift of God for all of us and for all of the world. And that's the reason, and that's really the only reason, that we bring our gifts to God in response to that. Because we treasure how much Jesus loves us and how much of a gift he is for us, and we give our gifts in return. That's why we give one another Christmas gifts. It's a sign of the real gift, the true gift, the first gift, and that gift is Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gifts that we receive this Christmas, but mostly we thank you for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we worship tonight and every day, but especially in this service. We worship him and we praise him and we thank you for sharing your precious Jesus with us so that we might share him with others. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Emmanuel.
Now it's time for us to give our gifts. And as our ushers come to collect up and present these offerings, let everything that we give tonight be given to the church for the work of the Lord and the ministry of Christ in the coming seasons. So, let us pray together as we begin our offering. God, let us bring every gift in memory and in honor of the gift of Christmas. Just as you have given so generously to us, let us give generously so that we might be able to carry your message to the world about the hope that we have, the precious hope that we share in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gift is given, so God imparts to humanity.
Your seats and let us share together. It's been traditional to share the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, and tonight we'd like to share it from Matthew. There are some differences that are significant, and I think what has happened in our Christmas traditions is the two traditions have kind of been woven together. And so when we have a manger scene, we have both kings and shepherds and angels, by the way. And so we blend those two stories, but they have their uniqueness and their significance. So we've traditionally gone with the story from Luke, which has shepherds, of course. But tonight I'm going to read you from the kings, because I think that Jesus came for all people, and I think these stories are both equally significant in demonstrating that truth. So, the visit of the Magi from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem was with him. And he was calling all together the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired from them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared, and then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I, too, may go and worship him.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went that star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child lay. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. Upon entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by a different way." This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for the gift of that word. I admire their excitement when they saw a star. They not only let it command their attention, but when the star started bidding them to come along, they went faithfully. And they came as if they knew what was to happen, because they came bearing gifts. Now, they were wealthy, they were wise people, they were kings, they were magi, they were rulers. But they didn't just carry around gold and frankincense and myrrh all the time. So, no doubt, they planned for this trip and they took gifts. They went to welcome the child. Jesus was born into a world that seemed to ignore him at first. Oh, there was a band of shepherds on the hillside and a group of traveling kings and a small choir of angels who took joy at singing and scaring the life out of the shepherds who were not expecting the bright choir of angels in the sky on the dark hillside that night. Other than all that, the world probably took little notice, especially of that young traveling couple that was about to be a family of three. Oh, some saw them, surely, traveling by a donkey and maybe went by on the other side of the road. The message of the angel was, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Not favor with humankind, but favor with God. It's a good thing that that angel started out with, "Don't be afraid," isn't it? Because really, what would your response be if an angel appeared to you? Or even if someone says to you, "Don't be afraid, don't panic," what's the first thing you do? You start breathing faster, right? Adrenaline, immediately, indeed. Like when a teenager comes home and says, "Okay, Dad, Mom, you'd better sit down." So the angel starts with, "Don't be afraid," and you have to wonder, well, just how well that worked. But here's a couple who have stayed apart, and yet, well, how will all this look? An angel told you what, you know? And yet, Mary accepts it, and with the appearance of the angel, maybe that helps, but she goes to the Judean hill town to visit her relative, our kinswoman, Elizabeth. She also was expecting a holy child, and that's a whole nother story. She was a little bit ahead of Mary because her boy, John the Baptizer, was to be the forerunner of the Messiah, the one who would shout the way and make ready for the coming king. And when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth's child leapt in her womb. And that's when Mary breaks into song. Thanks to Luke, we have the songs recorded. It's called the Magnificat because it begins with the words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." It's been set to music dozens of times and more. But wouldn't you love to hear how Mary sounded singing it? Those precious words. So she stays with Elizabeth about 3 months. And then around the time Elizabeth is due, Mary returns home to Nazareth. It's not clear in our story where Joseph is all this time. Likely back home earning their living in the carpentry shop. He probably carved characters out of olive wood. Or built beams for houses. Or something even more practical. But as he worked, he likely imagined Mary and Elizabeth reminiscing. Joseph's a quiet one, not speaking much, apparently. At least nothing he said seems to be recorded in the scriptures. I kind of admire people like that, that are quiet and reflective. My brother's like that, and It causes me to be really interested when he does say something. We preacher types say too many words, most of you might agree. And people sometimes sort of stop listening for a while. But I like Joseph because he was a person of few words. He was a man of action. And he embraced this Mary who came home saying, "We're going to have a child." And then he embraced the child. And there's not just a whole lot else about Joseph, but Joseph was a carpenter and Jesus was a carpenter. I'm going to guess they spent a fair amount of time working with wood together. So we can buy into the sweet story of Mary without understanding all the science of it. Science may tell us how some things happen, but Scripture tells us that God in creation initiates all things. And it also tells us that each part of creation ends with this phrase, "And God saw that it was good." So we can accept the challenges that come our way, some of them this very evening. And we can accept those challenges confidently, along with Mary, in spite of surprising news. Luke tells us that she was able to say, "Here I am. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Like the prayer says, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." With Mary and with all confidence and generous hope, we can all come to say, "Welcome, little child. Come and grow in us." Let us pray. God, as we come to the manger, curious of what will happen and curious about how it will change the world, let that star call our hearts to rejoicing, and let the Christ child, the King of the manger, be also the King of our hearts. Amen. As we begin our time of communion, I want to tell you, you know it, I think, but I want to be sure you know it, that all persons are welcome at this table. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what faith tradition you have been from. To us and to Jesus, the table is open. Whatever denomination or tradition you have come from, you're welcome at this altar. So as everyone is invited, some of you may be here for the first time tonight. We often kneel at these rails and receive a gift of the bread in a small cup, but tonight we are going to share by standing in the center and by sharing a piece of bread with you that you will dip in the cup. It's called intinction. And so if it's brand new to you, it is pretty authentic that this is the way that the early church received when Jesus shared at the table with the disciples. And when he lifted the cup, it was probably something like a chalice, a cup from which they may have drunk wine. And the bread that he lifted was probably not completely like a loaf of bread that we know, but a piece of unleavened bread. But it would have been whatever they had for supper that night. And so as we come, and as you come down the center aisle to this table, we'll stand here in the middle and you receive the bread, dip it in the cup, and take it together as the body of Christ, as the precious gift of His life and His being poured out for you. And then you may return to your seats in the side aisles. We have some communion prayers to go as we begin with this, but after the communion service, we will share the light of Christmas and pass the candles. I hope you all have a candle. If you don't, lift a hand and the ushers will bring you one. But during the Lord's Prayer, we will prepare for that and the sharing of the bread and the cup and our sweet candlelight service. So, let's begin with the confession and assurance of the grace of God. Let us pray. O Holy One, who surrounds our lives with grace, we confess that we do not always recognize you in our midst. Your presence in our lives takes us by surprise. We see only the outer signs, the baby, the feeding place for cattle, the tired mother and father. Help us to know you not only in the angel's song, but in the ordinary happenings of our lives, that we may be instruments of your grace in Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to join me in the communion liturgy in our bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, Almighty God, to celebrate this gift at this holy time. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Hark the herald angels. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we give our hearts to this gift at Christmas. We reckon that Jesus' precious life is what makes us whole. We trust and we gather in it, and in this bread, which we now break, we celebrate and remember his precious body broken and given for us. This is the body of Christ given for you. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hailed incarnate deity. Pour out your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, upon us gathered here, O God, and upon these gifts of bread and cup. This cup is the blood of Christ. It represents for us his life poured for us. And as we partake of it, we share in his gift of new life, both in receiving it and in sharing it. In holy moments around our own tables and living rooms, family gatherings, one or two or 20. And so, with great thanksgiving, we celebrate the gifts of Jesus' very life given for us. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into all the world in the strength of your Spirit, the risen Lord, to give ourselves for the others in the name of Jesus Christ. And now, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. forever. Amen. Hail the hand-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Late in life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. The surgy birth of redemption birth, heart the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. And now, as a sign of our oneness, not just with one another, but our oneness in Christ, we now share with our hearts and our voices and our souls the prayer that Jesus himself teaches us to pray with these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The table is prepared and the guests are ready. Please, everyone is welcome. Please come to this table and receive this gift where Christ is the host and each of us is an invited guest. Amen.